In conversations concerning public education in Florida, the state's teacher shortage is likely to come up, and talks among state lawmakers this session were no exception. That's why some legislative leaders have touted a roughly $75 per student increase in the base student allocation, part of the funding formula for public schools. That amounts to about $364 million in flexible funding, which they've been careful to point out can be used for teacher pay raises.
Last year, the word would have been apprehensive moving into last year about this time, especially after we were given our budget last year. This year's budget, in comparison to last year, would give me a more hopeful outlook, definitely.
That's Wakulla County Superintendent Bobby Pierce. He's optimistic that a pay raise for teachers could come out of negotiations with the local teachers union this summer based on the injection of flexible funds. In Bay County, which took the brunt of historically destructive Hurricane Michael 7 months ago, the district is dealing with the opposite of a teacher shortage. Bill Husfeldt has been superintendent there for more than a decade.
Because we have lost so many students and teachers alike, we're not going to have a problem recruiting teachers. In fact, for the first time ever, we probably have more teachers than we need. So we have, last Friday notified 100 teachers that they don't have jobs right now next year.
Still, Husfeldt is encouraged by the hike in flexible funds.
I was very grateful for the increase in the base student allocation. That really is what makes the difference. That is where we're able to take funds to give raises and to try to do more than what we've actually been funded in the past.
Rocky Hanna is superintendent of Leon County Schools, home to the Capitol itself. He says even with the BSA increase, other factors make for an increase to Leon's budget that's less potent than advertised.
Don't be deceived by that $9.5 million, because in reality, once you take out best and brightest, the other categoricals, along with the increased contributions to FRS and healthcare, it's really about 3.2 or 3.3, mm-hmm. Which is still better than nothing.
Modification to the Best and Brightest program was another project of the Republican-controlled legislature. The program gives bonuses to teachers and principals based on reaching certain performance benchmarks. Changes to the program also removed a barrier for qualifying that was based on teachers' past SAT and ACT scores. Hanna and Husfeldt have different takes on the updated bonus structure. At a recent school board meeting, Hanna pointed out what he feels is a hole in one piece of the formula.
The other piece, schools that show an increase over a three-year period of time of 3 points or more and who are deemed highly effective or effective shall be eligible to receive the bonus, right?
But Hanna says there's a catch.
A number of our schools that are A schools that, because their points are so already so high, may not show that 3%, that 3-point growth over those years. So we'll have teachers potentially at A schools that are highly effective that will not receive a penny.
To Husfeldt, the Best and Brightest changes, particularly the provision concerning teachers' SAT and ACT scores, is a bright spot in the budget.
There was a huge increase in the Best and Brightest program, and there was some legal changes in the language of that, which we think it'll make it much better and more fair for teachers to be eligible for it. And I think that's one thing that's going to make a huge difference for a lot of individuals.
One piece of legislation pushed through this session leaves districts with a big decision, whether to allow teachers to be armed. Districts also have the option to hire trained guardians whose sole job is school security or contract with a security firm.
We're obviously on the record how we feel about this program. We don't need to go there again.
Superintendent Hanna has been an outspoken critic of the Guardian program, but he says he and other superintendents may not have a say in whether charter schools in their districts participate.
Charter schools could request, if they so choose, to implement the Guardian program. So one of our four charters could come to us, apply, and then it would be left up to us as to whether or not we approved.
But Hanna says even a no from the local school board couldn't stop a charter from participating.
Even if we did not grant them permission, they could still go around us and get permission. And even if they did not get the go-ahead and training from our local sheriff, they could partner with a neighboring sheriff and receive the training.
In Bay County, Husfeldt takes the opposite position.
We participated in the Guardian program this current year, and we're going to participate in it next year.
Husfeldt says that willingness to participate is based on prior experience.
I think one of the unique situations in our district, and I don't know if you're aware of, but we had our board was held hostage by a gunman 9 years ago. And, you know, there is no way that anyone understands the helplessness you feel when someone's got a gun pointed at you and you have no way to protect yourself or intervene or anything.
For the Bay superintendent, it boils down to trust in his teachers.
I know in my district, almost every one of our teachers would do anything to protect a child from getting shot. And I think that what the least we can do is help those that can be trained, that can meet the requirements for the psychological background, the background screening and all that, they can do that to give them a fighting chance.
Governor Ron DeSantis signed expansions to the Guardian program into law last week. I'm Ryan Daly.